Blog Talk Radio.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to mini episode number 173 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris. We've got a great one for you here today with somebody who has truly, truly excelled in his field, and it's going to be a very exciting discussion. It's certainly for me that we're going to be having today, no question about that. I want to thank the FDH New York Bureau, Steve Servillo, for setting this up, as always. I want to thank also our good friend Vernon Turner, who was very instrumental in getting this thing going here today. Vernon being the good friend that he is, a former teammate of this individual, somebody who Vernon understudied actually during his time in the NFL and specifically with the Detroit Lions during his time with the team back in 1993. One of the all-time great return men in the history of the NFL. I was very, very excited when I found out a little while ago, some weeks back, that we were going to be doing this discussion. And one of the things that I want to bring up to this gentleman was when I was talking to some of the FDH Lounge dignitaries, some of the things that they were saying to me, some of the first things that came to mind when I mentioned the name. And I have a feeling that this is going to prove to be a source of amusement for this this gentleman. I'm not even sure if he remembers this particular aspect of the flash and excitement of his career that a lot of people remember him for, it will be very, very interesting to discuss with him. I speak, of course, of Mel Gray, who played his college football at Purdue, moved into the USFL subsequently, and he played on the Los Angeles Express team that was beset by some of the real economic woes of the USFL back at the time. They were moved on to the Outlaws that played in various times at Oklahoma and at in Arizona. And then the Arizona Outlaws, a little-remembered precursor to the Arizona Cardinals. That was when the market really kind of first got its feet wet for professional football. That's not widely remembered among a lot of folks, but that was the first team to really prove that football could be viable out there. And the next thing you know, the St. Louis Cardinals become the Arizona Cardinals. Moved on from there to play with the New Orleans Saints. Again, the years that he is probably most remembered for, his time with the Detroit Lions, subsequently the Houston Oilers / Tennessee Oilers of 95 to 97. I believe that's before the team was renamed to the Titans. They had that sort of interim period when they were just known as the Oilers still, even after the move, and then wrapping up his pro career with the Philadelphia Eagles. So it makes for a very interesting set of travels over the course of a decade plus in professional football, and having played for some great coaches, as he did over a period of time, just in glancing at that list, at a bare minimum, as far as notable coaches go, you've got Jim Mora and you've got Jeff Fisher. Played with a lot of great teammates along the way in the course of his career. In his high school ball in Virginia, he actually was lining up with playing on the football team with one of the great defensive players subsequently would become in the history of the NFL, Lawrence Taylor, with the aforementioned Los Angeles Outlaws. He played with Steve Young. And, of course, if you say the Detroit Lions 89 to 94, I'm sure the first guy that everybody thinks of is Barry Sanders. So between LT and Barry Sanders, again, you're going to find at least some people out there that these opinions are splintered, of course, what anybody considers to be the best player in the history of the league. there are some folks out there that'll tell you LT is the best defensive player of all time, and I got to think there's at least a few folks that'll tell you that Barry Sanders would be the best offensive player of all time. And this gentleman, at various points in time, of course, as I said, high school with LT and NFL with Barry Sanders, was a teammate of both. And to say nothing of Steve Young, who of course was a Hall of Fame quarterback and would probably be on a very, very, very short list of the all-time greats had his career not been cut short by a concussion. If he played till, say, about 2002, 2005, whatever, Steve Young might very well be in the top three or four guys when people are doing the discussions of NFL quarterbacks. So and Mel Gray, of course, got a chance to play with all of these guys. So we'll be talking about these things with him. We get him on the phone here. We're efforting to get him on momentarily. Some other topics of discussion that we certainly anticipate. To football fans of an even older generation, if you go back to the 1970s, there was a great NFL wide receiver, speaking of the Cardinals, as we did before, the Arizona Cardinals, back when they were the St. Louis Cardinals, a multi-time Pro Bowl wide receiver on that team, also named Mel Gray. So football fans older than myself, who really were able to appreciate his career at the time, know that name and know that guy maybe first and foremost when they hear the name Mel Gray. So I'd be very interested to know if he ever crossed paths with his namesake, either during his career or afterwards. And again, one of the great return men of all time, he was named as the number 5-1 by the NFL Network in the course of his playing career. And that really puts him at an elite level, and you start thinking of some of the other all-time greats at the position, whether it be Billy White Shoes Johnson, or I might be a little bit biased as somebody who grew up a Browns fan if I were to say Eric Metcalf, who would have been a contemporary of Mel's, but some really great ones there. If you're number 5 of all time by the NFL Network's ranking, and this goes right back to what I started talking about at the outset when I said an all-time great, somebody elite at his level, somebody who was able to get it done like very few others in his area of expertise, like very few others in the history of the game. And that's just a very, very special thing to be able to say about anybody in any walk of life, sports or otherwise. And as we said also, very, very grateful that our good pal Vernon Turner was able to set this up. Vernon has been in touch with Mel. I'll be interested to know the extent of which. I know Vernon has been reaching out to a lot of his old football brethren, especially ever since his book came out, The Next Level, A Game I Had to Play, which is definitely a book that you need to check out if you have not already. But essentially, long story short, how this came to pass as far as setting this up, Vernon now lives in the greater Houston area, and so does Mel. And as I say, I'm a little bit hazy on whether there was some communication with them throughout over the years or if that was reestablished when Vernon moved down to Houston, which I believe was some point in the last decade or so. But I know that Mel's friendship and his mentoring that he had when he was with the Detroit Lions, that is something that he really, really treasures. So I was privileged to have the opportunity earlier in this year myself and the aforementioned Steve Cervillo to spend a little bit of time with Vernon. We actually stayed with him down in Houston for a few days and got to hear some of his great stories about playing in the league. And Mel Gray was one of the guys that he spoke the most highly of. And again, nothing will bring out the little kid in you like riding in the riding in somebody's truck, listening to stories like that, and some of the things that he said. There are some stories that were told in confidence about some other players that cannot be mentioned here. But anything that was said about Mel Gray, anything could be repeated because it was all of a very exemplary and complimentary nature. So although I've not yet met the man or even talked to him off air, I do feel as though I know him a little bit from hearing Vernon's very warm endorsement of him and talking about him and mentioning him about him as being as great of a person as he was a football player. And again, we all know how great of a player he was. Certainly, one of the things I alluded to this previously, one of the things I want to ask him about, I'm unaware of his level of knowledge on this, but I'm certain that he is going to be amused to talk about this with us. As I started talking amidst among the FDH Lounge dignitaries and telling them that we were going to be doing this segment, which was pretty much along the lines of, hey, guess who we're having on? Mel Gray. The first guy to mention anything back to me, one of the dignitaries of the show, John Adams, said, oh, one of the all-time greats in the history of Tecmo Bowl. And I mentioned that to some of the other fellows, and I was kind of laughing, and I said, hey, guess what Johnny's reaction was? First thing he said when I said Mel Gray. And a lot of the other guys, Nate Noy and some of the other ones, I think Mike Petak also, they were like, yeah, that's the first thing I think of, sitting there playing video games. And if you had Mel Gray, you had a great chance to bust off a great punt return. And that's very interesting because, again, late 80s, Mel was certainly on the leading edge of players that were becoming known in video games. That was, I think, about as early as it went. Me being one of the grizzled types that had an Atari 2600 in the early 80s, it was unheard of to be able to play with individual players on there to know who you were playing. They were just generic games. But by the late 80s, you had players that were identifiable. You've got this guy, you know who you're controlling on the console. And, yeah, the graphics were a lot more primitive than they are today. But we were just starting that process of being able to control an identifiable name guy on the screen there. And it's funny that to our generation, looking back on it, it was something that I hadn't even really thought of until the thought was put in my head. Yeah, that's what a lot of people think of when they think Mel Gray. They think sitting there playing in their dorm room playing Tecmo Bowl and, yeah, I had Mel Gray, and I returned a couple punts for touchdowns on the video game and won games because of it. So that is definitely something that we look forward to bringing up with him. It is becoming increasingly evident, I have to say, from the information that is in front of me right now, that for whatever reason, it doesn't look like we're going to be able to make this happen today. We have been, again, trying to effort to get this in during this segment, and I certainly apologize for anybody who's listening along live. We primarily promote this show once we've been able to put it through some post-production and run it up on our blog and post it there. So we don't exactly treat it as though it's eavesdropping for anybody that's able to listen live, but this is not the primary way that we promote listening to the show. But nevertheless, it is possible to do that. So for the sake of anybody who is listening in as we're talking right now, I certainly apologize. We were looking to make this happen today. And again, for as good of a guy as we know Mel to be, there must be something. And actually, you know what? And right about as I was about to sign off here, I'm seeing a pop-up. And I believe this is outstanding. I believe we are going to be able to do this today. So, yeah, I just want to start by saying it's a true pleasure to be able to get this gentleman on the program. He was a four-time Pro Bowler. Again, one of the all-time greats at what he did. He is the oldest, second oldest, and third oldest man ever to return kickoffs for touchdowns. The NFL Network named him the fifth greatest return man ever. And again, just me personally, it's always been my stance on this program that specialists should be eligible for the Hall of Fame. If you were great as a specialist, I believe that you're a Hall of Fame player. That's my personal opinion. So fifth greatest of all time, according to the NFL Network, and I think most people would actually consider that to be the floor of where the man would be rated as opposed to the ceiling. So, again, it wouldn't take too much translation to tell you that I regard this man as a Hall of Famer. And just very, very excited to be able to have him on the program here today. I can only be speaking of the great Mel Gray. Mel, welcome to the FDH Lounge, sir. A real pleasure to have you on with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy to be able to have you on. I'd like to start this on kind of a light note. I'm unaware if this is anything that you know about or if this has really come to your attention or not, but from talking to a lot of the contributors to this program, most of whom are about my age or perhaps even a shade younger, and I would have been high school slash college age slash early adulthood when you were playing, I mentioned the name Mel Gray, and the first thing a lot of these guys think of is greatest return man in the history of Tecmo Ball. You know, I remember playing in my dorm and you know, the video game, and boy, if you had Mel Gray, you were always a threat to return a punt for a touchdown. So is that something that you're aware of? And I got to imagine you're at least a little bit amused by that.
Yeah, well, you know, of course you're making me seem real old, but yeah, I'm aware of that. My son tells me all the time that, you know, I don't play Tecmo Bowl, but he sort of let me know that I'm there and, you know, I have some type of presence there that I seem to make an impact in that game. So, yeah.
It's funny, yeah. That wasn't the first thing I was expecting to hear when I mentioned to some of the guys when I said, "Hey, we're having Mel Gray on." And it's funny because yeah, they all kept saying the same thing. And you know, you were certainly in the first generation, I would say, of players that were you know, able to be known for being on video games because you know, it really wasn't until the late 80s that that was made available on the games
right
there. But again, you had, you know, such an interesting career and you know, able to make an impact in a number of ways. I know when you first broke in, when you came out of Purdue, you spent a little bit of time with the LA Express, and I don't know if you were there for the height of the chaotic period or not, but it was kind of a wild period, wasn't it? I know the franchise was having some financial problems and was kind of caught in a whirlwind. Were you there for the worst of it?
Oh, most definitely. I got there in 84, actually. Of course, they started in 83. I got there in 84, Steve Young, Zimmerman, and Kennard, and all of us. And, man, we had such a good time. It was a great franchise, I thought. We had great owners, coaches with Hadle and all those guys. And all of a sudden, it comes down to we're about to fold. And that was very discouraging for us. But it was so much going on that we didn't understand. And before we know it, we were pretty much out of a job and, you know, trying to get picked up by the NFL at that point.
Well, and it did work out great for you subsequently, making the jump to the NFL. But as far as, you know, you mentioned the name there of Steve Young. One of the things I found to be kind of curious, I know you played with him, obviously, the most celebrated part of your career, you played with Barry Sanders. At least according to Wikipedia, you played high school ball with Lawrence Taylor. Now, it would have taken a lot of foresight at the time to know that he was going to become, you know, Lawrence Taylor. But I'm just wondering, you know, to play alongside guys like that, you know, three of the all-time greats by any measure, was there any, you know, common factor that you saw with those guys? Was there anything that you ever kind of absorbed just from watching how those guys went about their business?
Oh, most definitely. Well, you know, you see, when it comes to Lawrence Taylor, see, he was a surprise to us because Lawrence played with my brother in Little League and, of course, junior high and all that. And we really didn't hear about Lawrence Taylor being a real force until probably his junior year. And that surprised all of us in our hometown. And as far as Barry Sanders, now Barry was in Wichita, Kansas, and his high school coach was actually my coach at Coffeyville.
Wow.
And I remember Barry coming out as a kid, you know, to practice, you know, and we were, you know, always kidding with him, plucking him on the head and all that good stuff. And for you know it, we're drafting this guy as the Heisman Trophy winner in Detroit. So it was amazing. And I think when it comes to Barry and I in Detroit, we sort of fed off of each other. It was my job to go out there and spark the team with a great return. And, of course, at that point, you know, they feed off of you. And Barry, of course, did a great job of getting motivated and feeding off my returns in order to go out there and do his thing. So it was a good chemistry between, you know, the two of us on as far as returns and him getting out there at the running back position, getting things done.
Absolutely, yeah. That was an unbelievable offense and special teams unit at that time. As far as other players too, I just had a side question as well. Just in terms of coincidence. And this is for folks who are significantly older than either one of us who would have had great memories of this. But, of course, your namesake, a Pro Bowl wide receiver for the St. Louis Cardinals in the early to mid-70s, I'm just curious if you ever crossed paths with him at any banquets or any football events or anything along the way. Have you ever met the other Mel Gray?
Oh, yes, quite a few times. He's actually we've had some mix-up there as far as autograph signings and, you know, checks and stuff coming to him and not to me and all that good stuff. But we've talked about that. And it's definitely been a mix-up. I remember first entering the NFL, where a lot of guys, like Rodney Pete and those guys, younger guys, thought that I was that Mel Gray that played with the Cardinals. I'm like, come on, man, do I look that old? I mean, Mel's got me by a few years. But, you know, they always had that mix-up, and then some thought that he was my dad. Of course, he would probably be too young to be my dad. So the mix-up was there quite, you know, for a while, but even during the years I played. But, you know, that's okay. You know, he did a great job for 11 years, and, you know, hey, it's an easy mix-up.
Oh, that's kind of funny. I didn't know that you guys were as intertwined as that. That is kind of funny with mistaken identity and the like. As far as other players like that and older players, some of your predecessors as far as great return men, certainly our senior producer Steve Cervillo wanted me to ask as far as Billy White, Hughes Johnson. Was there any guys that you consider to be influences as far as how you went about the game of returns, anybody in particular whose film you really studied or were able to learn from?
Oh, well, you know, first of all, I hated returns. I was a pure running back at Purdue University and all through my high school years and, of course, my first few years in the pros. That was something I pretty much had to do in order to stay around because of my size. But definitely over the years, I've watched guys like Billy White Shoes Johnson do his thing. I always said he was pretty crazy to go back there and receive those punts and run them up the field because of his size. But he did such an outstanding job at that. And then you got another guy by the name of Rick Upchurch. You know, the guy was amazing. You know, he was a little guy as well. And to see those guys do their thing sort of helped me get motivated, knowing that I can go out there and do the same thing. If I'm not going to be used at the running back position, then I might as well make my mind up to go out there and do those things in which those guys did, and that was to return punts and kickoffs in order to stay around.
Absolutely. Well, the place you created for yourself in the game really was unforgettable with where you did get the opportunity and where you were able to excel. But along the lines of what you just said there, I'll pose to you the same question that I did to your friend Vernon Turner, good friend of ours also, being that he was kind of in the same boat, small guy but super quick. Do you ever look at the game now? Do you ever see, I'd say more or less like post-Brian Westbrook, the way that guys are used, somebody like a Darren Sproles? I mean, not to ask a downer question, but do you ever get the sense of watching it today, gee, you know, maybe today I'd have like more of an opportunity to show my stuff? Do you ever have that sense of analysis as we're watching the game?
I do, yes, I do. And sometimes, you know, I look at the game and I see some of the play. And, of course, you know, a lot of guys can sit back and say, man, I could get out there and I can do a better job still at 51. But in actuality, you really can't. But in your mind, you think you can based on the way they're playing right now, you know. But, yeah, definitely.
I'm glad the question wasn't taken as a downer. I know that it very easily could be, but just from an analytical point of view, I mean, the game really has changed, isn't it? There's not that bias against size that there used to be, and you see it on the defensive side of the ball, too, it seems. You know, like with Jimmy Johnson, with what he did with Dallas in the 90s, you know, that putting the emphasis on speed there and everything. I mean, it really is a different game as far as how guys like you are viewed today, I think.
That's right, because, you know, it's all about speed, quickness, and toughness, you know, and the size really doesn't matter in most instances, but you have to have that speed and the quickness, and you got to be physically tough. Yeah.
Well, and as far as we talked a little bit about influences in the game and, you know, folks that you played with, some of the all-time greats that you suited up with, as far as folks that you played for, just a quick scan of your biography would show Jim Mora in New Orleans, Jeff Fisher in Houston/Tennessee. Those are just the first ones that came to my mind. So what were some of the biggest coaching influences that you really had over the course of your career and position coaches as well?
Well, I would say the biggest influence were, of course, you know, I had a great time in Detroit with Wayne Fonts. He was really outstanding with the players. You know, a lot of people didn't realize that because Wayne's, he was a player coach, and a lot of people don't give him the credit that he deserved, but he did an outstanding job with the group of players that we had at that time to get us to that NFC Championship game, and I believe it was 92, 93, whatever. And, you know, without that type of guy, I don't think we could have done it. We couldn't have gone that far, you know. And, you know, you're looking at guys like Frank Gans. Frank Gans was a major influence on me and my career and basically my success. You know, he had tremendous confidence in me, you know. He allowed me to make those mistakes and come back from them without criticizing and sitting you down, you know. He knew the potential that I had, and he said, okay, we're going to keep working, we're going to keep working. And he had a scheme, man, that was unbelievable. He knew how to put it together in order to make you successful. And he did that. And we were very successful in the 90s. And I tell you, without that guy, I don't know if I would have done the things that I've done. I really wouldn't. And we had a great cast of guys that was willing to go out there and put their necks on the line on special teams. Most of the guys that were out there were big-time players, starters, you know, linebackers, you know, tight ends. They were out there blocking for me in order to make not only the special teams successful, but make sure that I was successful as well.
Oh, that's tremendous. Yeah, and I've heard great things about Frank Gans. I've heard, I mean, not for anybody that's ever played for him, but just for media types and everything, I've heard what a tremendous coach he was. And, yeah, it did seem like a very special time and place there in Detroit in the early 90s with everything that you had there. And curious as far as I know, that was where your friendship with Vernon first started back in when you guys crossed paths in 93 when he was there. And I know that you guys are close again today with both being down in Houston. But I wasn't real clear because I know that there are some guys that Vernon had sort of lost touch with over the years as he sort of withdrew from the game of football and now is kind of coming back into it. Had that been a steady thing over the years of where you guys were in touch, or did it just turn out to be, hey, this is great, we're both in the same geographic area now?
Well, I think that's exactly what it was. We were in the same geographic area. You know, I was making my home in a couple of different places, bouncing back from Phoenix, Arizona to Virginia, where I grew up, and decided to make my home here in Houston, where I was able to get in touch with a few guys, and Vernon was one of those guys. And I tell you, just looking at, you know, where we came from, Vernon, when I first met Vernon, I watched him on the field because at that point, you know, I'm getting older, and I'm watching for anybody who wanted to take my job, you know. And Vernon was one of the guys who stood out because the guy had so much potential. You know, he reminds me of myself, and that was fearful because he was quick, he was daring, he was elusive, and he could run that ball. So I'm thinking, oh, wow, I got to get on my toes. This guy can play. So that's how we met, and we started to talk, you know, and, you know, just kind of share ideals, you know, not enough for him to take my job, but we share some things to, you know, sort of get close. And I had a lot of respect for the guy. And he contacted me, found that out, lived in Houston. He contacted me. It was a great reunion. Now we hang out and have a good time every now and then.
Oh, that's tremendous. That's a great story. I got to tell you, though, and it's always funny, you hear something from one side. Now I've heard both sides of the story from talking to him. When he was there, he said, you know, he looked at it like, man, I'm never going to take Mel Gray's job. So he never at any time thought he was a threat to you. But I will tell you, he put you over endlessly for being a great mentor to him and teaching him things. I know you joked about, well, I did tell him enough to take my job. But, boy, he really felt like whatever you told him, the things that you imparted to him were definitely useful to his career. And he said how much he appreciated it. So I know that must make you feel good to hear that, the way that people look at you.
Oh, most definitely. You know, Vernon, you know, when I first met Vernon, from the beginning, he's been a good guy. I could tell, you know, he reminds me, like I said, so much of myself. And, you know, when you're getting older, you know, your time is limited. And, you know, I've pretty much done, I think, as much as I could do in the game. And I tried to share with him as much as I could to make him successful as well without being selfish. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, because, you know, at some point, you know, you have to step aside and let the other guy kind of fall in there and do his thing. And I wasn't so selfish at that point where I couldn't do that.
Well, that's great. That's great. Not a lot of people would look at it that way, certainly. But, you know, it's really tremendous. And I know that Vernon is somebody, obviously, I need to thank for hooking this up, for getting you on with us here. And, of course, he's been doing, of course, the outreach with his very great book, The Next Level, A Game I Had to Play, recounting that. Yeah, I'm curious in terms of that, Mel, as somebody who played with him and somebody who was observing. I mean, how much of this came as a surprise to you when you found out about some of the circumstances and some of the things involved in the story? I know Vernon has said on the show, and he has said to me privately that, you know, he was kind of buttoned up about some of those things and didn't really know how to express what he'd been through at that point. Were there a lot of things that really came as a shocker when you saw the book?
Well, not a shocker. Maybe a surprise that is coming from him, but from the same, from reading the few chapters that I've read in the book and listening to some of the stories that he's told me, I've gone through some of the similar things, some of the same things. And so I can relate to, you know, his story as a whole and understand where he's coming from without it being shocking to me, you know, but surprising that he's the one who's gone through that as well. You know, I think that, you know, it when you're dealing with some of the things that he's gone through and what I've gone through, it only makes you stronger, you know what I mean? And you can deal with things a lot better than other people who hasn't gone through those things, you know what I mean? The motivation factor is there, and you can figure out things. You can figure out how to get over certain obstacles without being down and depressed about them.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a real point of commonality, and I didn't know that you had it as much in common with him in that way as you do. But, yeah, that's you're absolutely right about that, that when you've been through something similar, you can certainly identify with that. As much, and you know, we it's been a real joy getting a chance to talk to you here today, Mel. We always like to give our guests a chance to plug whatever. So anything that we didn't cover sufficiently about your life, your career, and anything you've got going on, please take it away, sir.
Hey, well, you know what? Hey, I think you guys pretty much has the gist on me, you know. So I have nothing to add, except to say thank you for having me on. I appreciate it, and it's been a pleasure.
Mel, thank you so much, and we'd love to have you back on and get your insights about the game of football and to be able to learn a little bit more from you subsequently and to help see the game through your eyes a little bit more. It was a true pleasure having you on today, sir. I hope to do it again sometime.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mel. Again, everybody, thank you all for tuning in today. Mini episode number 173 with the great Mel Gray.